another underground tragedy.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The business of coal mining is a dangerous one. We all know that. And here we are again reporting on a disaster at an American mine that's killed a large number of workers. In West Virginia, rescuers are hoping for a miracle at the Big Branch mine, hoping that four people who are missing will be found alive. 25 co-workers didn't make it. Ellen Smith is editor of Mine Safety and Health News, and she's with us this morning. Good morning, Ellen.
Good morning, Steve.
How do things like this keep happening?
I don't know, Steve. We really thought that these mine accidents were behind us. Everyone was on hypervigilance, and we really thought that these large mine accidents with multiple deaths were a thing of the past.
It looks like this mine and the company, Massey, they've had a history of incidents. Can you explain some of those?
Well, Massey overall has actually improved its safety record. However, this mine is somewhat troublesome. We have watched the citations in this mine go up. For instance, in 2006, they had 148 citations. Well, last year they had 458.
Can you sort of take us through when a situation like this happens? I mean, just an awful situation like this, this explosion and people being trapped. I mean, what happens? What are the first things that go into effect?
The first thing is the mine operator needs to call the Mine Safety and Health Administration, and they will dispatch rescue teams. Now what's going to happen is, unfortunately, a very sad recovery, and it's going to be a long investigation. I mean, my guess is they're not going to have a report out for a year or so because they are going to go through everything with a fine-tooth comb.
Do you think this changes people's minds about coal for energy?
Well, it certainly isn't going to help the coal advocates. People just won't allow it to happen. They're not accepting of mine fatalities in order to turn their lights on. And I think that it's going to put coal in the headlights. It's going to be like the deer in the headlights for the coal industry.
Ellen Smith, editor of Mine Safety and Health News, with us this morning. Ellen, we do appreciate your time.
Thank you, Steve.
Safety at work. To now safety in the car. U.S. transportation officials want to slap Toyota with a record fine. The automaker may have to pay more than $16 million for its handling of a massive recall. Marketplace's Amy Scott is with us live from our bureau in New York. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning, Steve.
So why this record fine?
Well, the law requires car makers to notify U.S. regulators of any safety defects within 5 days. And transportation officials say Toyota waited at least 4 months to tell them about those problems with sticky accelerator pedals. They say that Toyota knew about the problems as early as September 2009, but didn't issue a recall until late January of this year.
Now, Amy, didn't Toyota's sales rebound last month? I mean, could all this blow over?
Right. Sales jumped in March. That was thanks to the heavy incentives that Toyota was offering. I talked to Hans Greimel this morning with Automotive News. He says that's one reason that Toyota may want to just pay this fine and move on.
You're seeing here that there is quite a bit of loyalty among the customers. And, you know, maybe Toyota doesn't have that much to lose just by paying the fine and kind of, you know, getting it over with.
You know, Amy, this fine is just for those sticky gas pedals, right? I mean, what about the other problems we've been hearing about?
Right. Regulators are still investigating other problems with unintended acceleration in some models and brake problems with the Prius. So it's possible there could be more fines down the road. And remember that Toyota is also facing hundreds of lawsuits. So the fallout may be far from over, even if it pays this fine.
Right. Marketplace's Amy Scott joining us from New York. Amy, thanks.
You're welcome.
Let's check the numbers. Stocks in Europe are higher right now, under 1%. Asian shares were up today as well, for the most part. Here at home, the Dow was up 46 points to close at 10,973. We're going to see whether 11,000 is in the cards for today. The world's biggest flat panel TV producer, Samsung, reported today near record profits for its first quarter. The South Korean company says it expects an operating profit of about $4 billion. That would be at least 7 times the profit over the same period last year.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Citrix, offering Go to My PC, providing remote access to a Mac or a PC from anywhere. More at gotomypc.com/market. By MassMutual, a mutual life insurance company owned by its members and policyholders. Learn more at massmutual.com/mutuality. And by CSX, working to reduce traffic and pollution while moving 1 million tons of freight daily. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
A new indicator of economic misery comes out today. Researchers at the Urban Institute call it double trouble, places hit by high unemployment and the housing bust. Marketplace's Brett Neely has more.
Some American cities have high unemployment or falling house prices, but double trouble cities have both, says American University economist Bob Lerman.
They average a 28% decline in home prices and a 7% decline in employment.
Every major city in Florida, and most in California, are on the list. There, construction and real estate jobs disappeared when the housing bubble burst. But in places like Michigan and Ohio, factories closed. Workers willing to migrate can't sell their houses. Lerman says the government's cookie-cutter foreclosure programs don't cut it.
The strategies on housing are independent of whether the declines took place in the aftermath of very big run-ups in prices, or whether the declines are part of a longer-term trend.
He says policymakers should offer customized help. Otherwise, recovery will be slow. In Washington, I'm Brett Neely for Marketplace.
And finally, Jack Slotnick is headed back to college. Hitting all those books and cramming for exams will keep Slotnick pretty busy for someone who's 84. The World War II vet is the oldest undergrad at Florida's Lynn University. He plans to graduate next year, wants to become the nation's oldest practicing psychologist. We remind Mr. Slotnick, of course, spring break is here and the partying awaits. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.